You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
What happened?
My head is spinning.
All right, executive producing the hell out of it right now, where we can't get an open off of the ground successfully because everybody got stuck in traffic today.
Yeah, it was bad.
The open's in traffic.
Yeah. Greg Cody's not here yet. He is stuck in traffic. Chris was in it. I was in it. It was bad.
All right,
it took me two and a half hours.
I have told people this. I will continue to say it. Miami is getting inundated with people from all over who are seeking refuge here. Our infrastructure is not built or equipped for the number of people who have descended upon this place and made it the number one housing market, least affordable in all of America, because everyone is coming down here to avoid the state income tax, and we can all have guns.
I think these are all things that are independent of each other that are all true, though.
Just one giant calamity.
Are you saying someone moved down here because they can pack a gun?
Yeah.
Really?
Of course.
Okay.
But they're moving down here because they can get a gun, but they want to buy an unaffordable house?
Huh.
Well, they didn't think it was going to be unaffordable, but they've descended here in such mass that it has made the prices go through the roof. And all we do now, and God bless, the hurricanes are going to get stronger and faster and more unexpected. And
been hearing national that for a decade, please.
The U is back.
All we're doing is building straight up. You realize if a hurricane blows through here, all the damage is going to be done is just cranes banging into each other.
So rich, gun-owning, climate change deniers are the people who are ruining the infrastructure.
I mean, it's been this way for years. It's just rotting faster now. It's been this way. Florida has been like this. Man, we had such funny ideas at the start of this that we were going to do shows on a boat having seceded from Florida. Maybe like just live shows floating somewhere between Miami and Cuba in a safe space out there in the ocean. We have the NBA to talk about because the playoffs are started, and Jimmy Butler is on, you know, he's doing Slam Magazine interviews where he's just saying nobody wants to see us for seven games. And Stugatz, the DraftKings odds are such that there are a bunch of playing teams that have better odds to win the title than your New York Knicks.
Huh.
The Warriors, the Lakers, and the Heat are all more favored to win the title, betting favorites, than the New York Knicks, the number two seed in the East.
That's amazing. They have to play their way in. The Knicks are already in. They're locked in as a two seed, but no one believes the Knicks, in part because Julius Randle is out and the Knicks.
Okay, but wait a minute. Julius Randle being out, I think, is good.
It kind of helps them.
Oh, my God. Well, the Heat were thrilled anytime he was on the court last year in the playoffs. Thrilled. He's just an inefficiency monster.
It's like when Marcus Smart was there for the Celtics.
That city only loves him out of loyalty because he's been a part of building what it is now. It's not because they're watching him play. And it must be because they're forgetful that they thought he was on vacation at the end of that Heat series. They thought he had already packed his bags because he was taking so many 23-foot jumpers and going 7 for 23.
It's amazing that those title odds are the way they are with teams having to play in, but it's an understandable situation with teams they've seen do it before that are built for the playoffs. The Knicks obviously haven't been able to do it. I'm not saying
about
that the Heat
Chris,
side of it.
Chris Cody,
I'm saying
what are
even
you
on,
about?
In the West, because you have all those young teams at the top that I understand why they would say, hey, the Warriors
Chris,
are a
why
team
are you
that
laughing?
Can upset.
I'm laughing at just the spot the Knicks are in. They have a great season. They win 50 games, and they're like, shit.
we get Embiid or Jimmy Butler in the first round. Like, they're scared, right? Is this just the Heat fan perspective on this, or are you legitimately scared?
No, I'm scared, but I will tell you this. When you doubt Tom Thibodeau, Thibs has you right where he wants you. And people are doubting Tom Thibodeau. And all of a sudden, Thibs has you locked up in 78, 76, you know, late in the fourth quarter. And you're playing his type of game.
Stugants, but come on. Thibs has always been doubted, and Thibs has never actually won.
I'm trying, Dan.
Okay. I understand why Knicks fans love him. I don't think you're tactically outmatched by leaps and bounds against Eric Spoelstra. I think everybody listening to this, even though if you don't understand the machinations, the technicalities in coaching, would look at Thibodeau and look at Eric Spoelstra and say, those people know how to coach the hell out of people, always get good defensive basketball, fundamental basketball, and Thibodeau isn't going to be outmatched too much by anybody in a seven-game series. You've got confidence with that, even if you don't know anything about coaching. But last night's story isn't that, Stugatz. We will get to the NBA. We will cover it throughout this hour. Pablo Torre is going to join us here in 20 minutes, Stugatz, and I think you're going to be super interested in what he's releasing today on Pablo Torre Finds Out. He is basically releasing how the Knicks recruited LeBron James in 2010 by video.
Huh.
In a 10-minute video that the Knicks prepared for LeBron James, like they were going to change the future of basketball by getting LeBron James in New York in 2010. Here, LeBron, here's our pitch. We've got 10 minutes. Pablo has secured the video and the audio of that presentation.
Was it JD in the straight shots performing? Like, I just like the idea of playing with what that 10-minute video would
be. Well, what it is going to be is played on Pablo Torre Finds Out. If you want to guess what it would be without having known what it is, at the time, they did a recruiting pitch. Do you remember how mad Stugatz was that Pat Riley was doing all the magical, mystical things of pouring rings on a table while, who was the GM?
Donnie Nelson.
Donnie Walsh, or was it Nelson? Somebody came into the recruitment of the Knicks in a wheelchair, but yep. It wasn't a wheelchair from anything other than a recent accident.
It was Donnie Walsh, by the way.
Oh, Donnie Walsh, my bad. Fine.
Yes.
That's your general manager. How do you team. Not? You ripped
they
him
haven't
for
been
so,
relevant in
you,
10
you
years,
ripped him
20
for
years.
So many years.
Like Don Nelson?
Donnie Walsh, Donnie Nelson. You know, I got to run
Nelly. They're not the same people.
Nelly.
Yeah.
Couple of Dons cutting it up.
Okay.
St. Lunatics.
$2?
Chris, your father, how is he doing? Can we call him on the phone? Can we get him agitated as he drives in? Do you need to tell him that he's on the air?
Or
not just we can commit a crime of just, well, no, I'm scared.
Well, the YouTube police are different than
FCC. Should be scared.
I'll tell
probably a bad idea.
This man is grumpy. Yeah, he is coming off a Las Vegas trip. He's in traffic.
Hey, Dad.
Las Vegas.
I just got here.
All right, we're in the air. How's your mood?
In the air.
I'll be in a minute.
That's his mood.
Good job, Chris. We're in the air. Excellently
we are.
Handled.
Are we not in the air?
First day back. All right,
I'll be on a plane.
He's going to get here in a second. He's going to run through the doors, and we have to be careful with all of this because sometimes Greg Cody gets so self-involved that he will arrive here while we're already broadcasting but lose sight of the fact that we're already on the air because he doesn't think any show starts until he gets there.
Do you think he's going to walk directly in front of the camera
I think he's going to barrel in here. No one's going to be able to stop him. He's going to run right into the studio, but he's going to be huffing and puffing. He's going to be breathless. He's not going to ask for permission of anybody, and he's going to sit down and then not put his headset on or do something simply broadcasting wrong that he could have learned at any point in the last 20 years and has simply refused to.
Are you trying to get him upset when he comes in, or do you want to disarm him so that he's not upset? Because I have a line you can give him that I was going to give him, but I'll give it to you if you want.
All right, if you want to show people behind
as
the curtain.
As soon as he sits down,
all right, so
Dan,
here.
Hit him with hey, Drifter.
We don't
disarm him immediately.
Okay. All right. Look. All right. Look, he's barreling in right now. All right. Let's just do show here. The WNBA was the story from last night, Stugatz, because the draft was held and it felt like a seismic event. It felt like
I watched it.
It felt I can't believe it. You all did. Chris Cody's here. He's as a free agent. He's saying, I've got to pick a team for next year. I think I'm going Chicago.
Two top six picks. They get Ansel Reese. They get Cardoza. I mean, they probably are pretty bad to have two high picks like that.
Well, not anymore.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I think they're a fun team. I'm thinking, where would I like to go if my WNBA team makes like a final? Chicago's fun.
Billy, you wandered away from the children late at night and Marlins baseball to sniff around the WNBA draft?
Yeah, I was following it. Well, I was following it on my phone at first, and then it was only the Spanish feed, which I was really confused about. And then I finally figured that situation out. I was watching it in English. I could understand it in Spanish, but it was a bit of an inconvenience, and it was, you know, a little difficult. And I was trying to take it in. I wanted to see, you know, what's going to happen. I thought, what if Caitlin Clark doesn't go number one? It'd be hilarious, right? Which, obviously, we knew wasn't going to happen, right? And then I was watching it, and it was unlike any draft that I normally see, because I think, you know, the NFL draft is coming up. Big news on that coming in days. But the NFL draft is coming up, and I'm used to, like, teams being on the clock. I'm used to different networks being there, broadcasting it. And then I saw that this was, like, in a theater in New York. It seemed like all the tables with the players and their families were on the actual stage. And then the ESPN broadcast was being broadcast to, like, the entire theater. So I was thinking, wow, this is kind of different. They can all hear what you're saying about the players before they get drafted. Like, they hear all of it. At one point, Caitlin Clark smiled because she heard them talking about her. And I just thought it was a little weird for what I was used to seeing, because of the fact there's no clock that you could follow. It's just basically when ESPN was done talking, hey, the pick is in, and then the draft is made. So then I dared to say that in our meeting today, saying, hey, it was a little different than, you know, what I'm used to seeing. And I was immediately accused of hating women. And
yeah,
I was like, okay,
right.
Well.
That is how that went.
Dangerous game.
All right.
Let's go ahead and aggregate Billy saying WNBA draft, : it was a little weird. Because Billy did think the whole thing was a little weird.
It felt like a performance. It felt like a show, which is fine. I just said it was a little different than the drafts I watch. And it was like, well, you hate women. I was like, okay, well. I guess that's that.
I thought the performance element of it was really cool, though. Like, the idea that the broadcasters were being broadcast throughout the building that they were in, and that everybody could hear all of the analysis as it was going on, it led it to feel like I was watching something that was contrived for TV, which is what these are all supposed to be.
I need a
right?
clock.
It
I
was
need
awkward.
The idea of chaos ensuing.
But I didn't, it could have been way more awkward than it was. Like, I thought that all of the women who were drafted handled all of that really well,
they
listening
were great.
To people break
yes.
down their game in front of them. And then they were all the sound bites afterward with Holly Rowe were great. It was really funny seeing the difference in height between Cameron Brink and Holly Rowe as she was literally cut off of the screen as she was trying to interview Cameron Brink after the second pick. But I thought all of it was really, really well crafted.
I thought it was awkward at the beginning when they're doing 10 minutes on Caitlin Clark while trying to show other players, and they can hear it. So you're looking at another player sitting there kind of like,
look.
Fine, more on Caitlin. You want to do 10 minutes on Caitlin, but show me?
He's right. You could tell other players were annoyed because Indiana picked a second player, and the first question asked was, well, you're playing with Caitlin Clark. And she was like, well, what about me? I mean.
All right, so there are a handful of interesting things here. If you stop for a moment to genuflect at the moment that we are in. People will complain about whether Caitlin Clark is too famous, whether she deserves Saturday Night Live or South Carolina should be up there. But at this moment in history, that woman who has acknowledged at every turn very gracefully all the pioneers who came before her, all of the pioneers, because they are many, that woman now drags this sport to unprecedented heights that we've never seen, where, holy shit, we're watching on Monday night a made-for-television extravaganza about looking good, feeling good, presenting good, like putting on a show for the people because your sport has arrived. But what it really was is, holy shit, these women are underpaid. Let's celebrate how we have now finally reached male equality on, you'll celebrate our bullshit draft events on television. We'll turn these into national holidays. It'll be fashion show. All of it off-season bullshit where the leagues can control the players because Caitlin Clark should be available to go to wherever the hell she wants to play, anywhere she wants in the world. But she has to go to the first team that drafts her in an unfair draft that would be eradicated if sports were truly fair.
I think you choose Indiana.
I mean, remember Iowa, right. Same market, Dan.
Yeah. Maybe, but right. Here are the numbers, and they are shocking. She will make $76,000 this year, Caitlin Clark, her rookie deal. 4 years, and she's well paid. Brittany Griner had to go to Russia because of how poorly we pay and have always paid in this sport. 4 years, $338,000. So she gets in 2025, $78,000. 2026, $85,000. 2027, $97,000. So she would qualify for low-income housing in San Francisco.
Huh.
She'll be paid less than the average salary of a union nurse, teacher, or cop.
Hmm. Pay the teachers.
They're going to be paying her $23,000 less than James Harden's fine for calling Daryl Morey a liar.
Wow. It's why that big three thing, honestly, $5 million for like eight games.
She needs to opt out of that fourth year now, right?
She was wearing a $17,000 Prada outfit last night. That's about a quarter of her first year.
It was the first time Prada dressed anyone for the draft. So it was another like very, very cool moment to show that this event had arrived and ratings were coming.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. Kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
I heard that as a woman faking pain. I didn't think that sounded real. I really didn't, you know.
It was not fake. It was in no way fake. Yeah.
You can spot a woman faking it?
Stugatz.
Yes, I can, Jess.
Expert.
I've been married 40 years.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Greg Cody has arrived. Howdy, hello. Drifter.
Hey, Drifter. We do understand that her WNBA salary is a fraction of what her income will be, right? I mean, we're acting she's only making $70,000.
No, I'm not acting like anything. Yes, she will make plenty of money, but not because her sport pays her fairly.
Right.
The salaries in this sport are criminally low. Again, look at where Brittany Griner ended up because one of the biggest stars in American basketball. Look at where she ended up in a hellhole of a prison in the middle of a war of a world gone mad, Stugatz, because she couldn't play in this country. The salaries were too low. That's what Caitlin Clark changes last night. And whether you want to give her the credit or everyone who came before it, it almost doesn't matter. Holy shit, what a celebration of that sport arriving, that your championship was just done and now the fun starts. We're going to get into the transactions. Chris Cody's going to watch and say, I got to pick a team. Like, to watch fandom birthed in real time because you care about the personalities and the stories in the time of brand NIL independence for the athlete, it's super cool to see it birthed.
I can't believe Angel Reese dropped all the way to 7 last night to Chicago. I can't. That is a steal. Steal of the draft. She was the third best player I saw in women's college basketball this year. She was.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean? Games you watched?
Who were the other two?
Well, Caitlin Clark, of course, mm-hmm. and the kid from South Carolina.
The kid.
The Cardoza. Kid. Yeah.
All right. The kid from UConn was pretty good, too.
Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
Name drop.
Mm-hmm. Grown women.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, like, in that level of infancy that you're talking about of sports fandom, Dan, like, I remember as a kid watching the 2003 NBA draft, which was LeBron and Wade and Bosh and Melo. And it was the first time that I, as a kid, had watched a number of those players through college in Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony, and LeBron James had the crazy hype that now Caitlin Clark has going into this WNBA draft. And so as someone who's now just in the last couple of years started to follow college basketball a little more, seeing these players go through their college experiences, seeing them go to championships, winning championships, it felt like that same level of infancy of fandom of like, hey, this draft is going to change a lot about this league with all of these star players. Stu, you mentioned it. Angel Reese all the way down at 7.
Can't believe it.
A really deep draft. It was just an exciting time as a sports fan to watch something that felt like the beginning of a new stage of a league.
Dad, you just mentioned Paige Beckers. Do you believe she was drafted last night?
I think he was just naming another name.
No, she's back for another year at UConn.
You kind of
unless
like
you know something I don't.
We were talking Ali Edwards,
the draft last night, and you're like, that UConn player is good, too.
No, they're saying the best players they saw last year.
I was interested that Kate Martin of Iowa got drafted. I wasn't sure whether she would or not, and it's good because other than Caitlin, she's like the only player who stood out on that one-woman team.
Do you believe, and I don't want to call anyone a liar, you believe that she's like, I was just here for Caitlin. I was happy I got drafted, but I wasn't here for that. I was just here for Caitlin.
Well, Billy, tell me how else it was weird.
That's it. That's all it was weird. I know that you're trying to take me down this path to turn people against me.
I'm trying to
make me a misogynist. All I said is I like a clock in a draft, and I thought it was weird that the TV broadcast is being played in the entire arena.
You've said enough.
That's all I said.
Yeah.
It was odd seeing, like, they would cut to Caitlin, and she was, like, looking up, watching the broadcast, and then she'd pan back, like, oh, this is awkward. They're talking about me.
It was convenient that every time the analysis stopped, the pick was in. Just the timing was impeccable.
Okay, look, it takes a minute. I should show you initial ESPN drafts on ESPN so you can see how this stuff is born and how these things require a great deal of production that costs a lot more than whatever they're paying Caitlin Clark this year to throw these events in a way that is giant and meets the moment. You do understand they met the moment last night, right? People were watching and they kept your attention, and it's all that they have to do in order for this sport to be the oil well of revenue and eyeballs that it's been, where we've never done this before on a Monday or a Tuesday, talking about a show after the WNBA season. And I say that purposely, a show, because the next evolution of what all of this power is going to be in brand management as a league explodes in front of your eyes, Stu Gatz. Because it's not just the minor league of college basketball is now going to be this giant pipeline. The WNBA has been sponsored, fed by the NBA for years. A money loser because it's hard to run a league. I mean, go look at read some of what it is that Ice Cube has had to do in business dealings on trying to just form what that league is.
But I would argue that what you're saying explains the salary situation. If you're saying the league's a money loser for all these leagues, it would explain
right,
why it is that
now,
salaries.
But now here come the television ratings and the thing that all of sports in the streaming age is built on. They have a revenue stream now that can make these salaries explode. Yes, those salaries are what they are for a reason. But again, Brittany Griner had to go to Russia. That's one of the biggest stars in America. Like Caitlin Clark, before Caitlin Clark, you could have made the argument, well, no, maybe Brittany Griner's the best there's ever been. And she had to, like a lot of the stars in this country, she had to play elsewhere in dangerous circumstances because this country wasn't valuing that talent. That's the history of this game, funded, supported by the NBA. And now, finally, because it's been, Stukats, this was hard. How many years is the NBA trying to get? Look, man, it's viewed as our most progressive league, and nobody has done this, what I'm just presently saying.
Yeah.
And this is not to celebrate the men on a woman's day, but the NBA was dedicated to this cause, and now it has exploded into something that's going to get everybody paid, because the dirty secret in sports is all of this is made for television. All of it. So if you get eyeballs, the money will fall out of the sky. Now more than ever, because the streaming services are all competing against each other to see whether they can get you behind the paywall.
I need to say that the WNBA is exploding through very little help from the NBA. The NBA and the NBA Players Association for years now could have taken it upon themselves to make sure that minimum salaries in the WNBA were decent so that Brittany Griner didn't have to go to Russia to play.
I mean, they could have done more.
Could have done a hell of a lot more. It's embarrassing. The WNBA start, and I don't mean to demean anyone on a living wage who's working their ass off for $70,000. That's a good wage, but not For pro sports, it isn't. It's embarrassing.
You mentioned the history of drafts on ESPN. I'll tell you when ESPN figured it out with their draft production. When they added that.
That's it.
I mean, that's all you need. And they had that last night, so I was hooked.
It made it feel legit.
That's good.
Always.
Greg, this is an easy a position for you to take, and I don't know. You're going to have to walk me through some of the facts on some of this. I don't know what salaries can be. Yes, I can complain about these salaries being too low. But if the NBA tells you the WNBA was running at this kind of loss for this long and you're just saying pay the players more, yes, of course. We would all argue, please pay the players more. But at what continued cost to your business? It's easy for a sports writer to say, mm-hmm. I'm wondering as a CEO of the NBA, how much loss am I allowed to bring to my owners because I can't get salaries up. I need to get fan attendance revenue ups in order to get salaries
right.
up.
But some of it is chicken and egg. If you increase WNBA salaries, all of a sudden some of the women playing overseas are playing in the American League, which not all of them are now. But I think that it's long overdue for some equity in pro basketball salaries.
You're taking an easy argument is what you're doing, and I'm not saying it's the wrong argument.
But it's fair, though, and it was fair before Caitlin Clark.
Only fair, though, if the piles of money are the same.
Okay, but...
Which they never are.
But the pile of money for an NBA team is a mountain. It's not a little tiny anthill like it is in the WNBA. NBA teams can afford to give...
This is a new and unimproved Dan Le Batard show with the Stugats. Gamble on by DraftKings.
Dan Le Batard.
Surely every time you're watching this, you recognize that your wife is laughing that she married yes. Larry David.
Yeah, I do, yeah. One of the great characters in the history of television, in my humble opinion. And to my credit, my personality...
To my credit. It's amazing.
My personality
it's just amazing.
Does predate Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Stugats.
Oh, wow.
I'm not
okay.
going to say Larry David
okay.
patterned himself
you,
after
you copy,
me.
All right, put it on the poll, please, Juju. Did Greg Cody copyright being an asshole long before Larry David?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
We have told you a number of different times, and you have helped make Pablo Torre Finds Out something that in a very crowded field of podcasts is standing out because every episode has a lot of care in it, an unusual amount of care. And so the latest Pablo Torre Finds Out, Stugats, I think will be particularly interesting to you, as I was saying before, because I don't know how Pablo got this video. I don't know what the story behind it is.
He's figuring stuff out.
He is. Yeah. So this is Pablo. What you've unearthed is the 10 minutes that the Knicks were presenting as video to LeBron James when they had the chance to run the last 15 years in the sport when LeBron ran the sport for 15 years. If they'd convinced him in these 10 minutes, all of basketball is different the last 15 years.
Yes. First of all, Stu, thank you. I did this for you, Stugats.
Well, thank you.
I did this for you.
Yep.
Dan has framed this correctly. There was a crossroads in basketball history when everybody in New York City thought, of course, LeBron James, you guys remember him, I believe.
Yep.
Of course, LeBron James would come to New York City. New York City has everything. New York City is the greatest city in the world. And the question that James Dolan had to answer was, how do you convey this in a room when the door closes and you're sitting there with Mike D'Antoni and Allen Houston and your executives from the Garden, and you have an allotted time to convince LeBron that New York City is the only place where you could be the best version of yourself? And they made a video that had been long rumored forever. It has been like this mythological artifact that people have talked about because there were rumors like they got James Gandolfini 3 years after The Sopranos had ended, one of the most controversial, debated endings in television history. They got him to do a special like bar mitzvah video basically for LeBron James.
Hold on. Stugats, if I told you right now, This isn't just reporting. If I told you right now, would you like to see just that, Stugatz, of The Sopranos is the number one most impeccably made television show and pop culture phenomenon on Earth. Hasn't been seen in 3 years. Gandolfini is like this mystery shadow figure, super interesting. And they got him on behalf of the Knicks to produce a video that Pablo now has. And who are you presenting this video to, Pablo? What's the clip we're throwing to?
I'm going to present to you the clip that LeBron James saw himself. No one has ever seen this, okay? Hmm. This is the thing. No one has been able to prove this is real. Just people have talked about it. And so the lights go down. James Dolan is at the table with LeBron James and Maverick Carter and his then agent Leon Rose in Cleveland. Lights go down. And this is the video that begins.
Yeah, I'll take it down.
Tony, I'm so glad we moved to New York. Life is so much better now.
Yeah. Life's good here, Carl. Even if we are in the witness protection program.
Now, we just got to find a place for your friend LeBron to live. What's he like?
Well, he's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
And here's something classy on the east side.
Well, is it big enough? It's going to be entertaining a lot of people in New York.
It's very expensive.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem. You got to find something magnificent. Something there's nothing in the world like it. One of a kind, like he is.
Well, here's a place. It says it gets really loud there. Take a look.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it. That's gonna be perfect for him.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My God. The Knicks made The Sopranos bad.
How did they do that?
Oh, my God.
Tony's alive. Tony was alive. The Knicks solved it. They got James Gandolfini, a man who refuses to do anything. He's a recluse, as Dan alluded to, a guy who refused to do anything like this. They got him to do this privately for LeBron. They expected that no one would ever see it. And now that we see it, we have a couple of answers as to, like, what happened at the end of the greatest television show of all time. And also, very crucially, what the f*** are the Knicks doing?
And why LeBron chose Miami.
Well, hold on a second, though. This is, I'll just send you over to Pablo Torre Finds Out so that you could get the other 9 minutes that were in that video.
So
because
much.
This is a whole sales pitch. Where would you rank that little clip? Where would you rank it from among the best that you think you have, if you had to rank the best of what this had to make fun of the Knicks from every angle on how they were mismanaged 15 years ago?
What I need to tell you is that this video, in all of its 10-minute long glory, does not age well. And so that, I actually really enjoyed that when I first saw it. I really did enjoy it. Where it goes immediately, and I don't want to spoil this because you just got to come watch the video, guys. Support the fact that I'm hustling to get these artifacts for you. It gets bad immediately, like really bad immediately. And the thing about what this video was, as Dan has been sort of framing it, it's how do you convince, when you have the privacy, the presumed privacy of this room with the closed door, how do you, as one of the most iconic teams of all time, convince the biggest free agent ever to come play for you? And so it's a window into how James Dolan thinks. Who are the Avengers he summons to come through the portal to convince LeBron James that the Knicks are the place? Not screw Pat Riley. We know what Riley did, right? Pillowcase full of rings. Mm-hmm. We know that story.
That's how you get them. Yeah.
This is the alternate history. This is what the Knicks tried to do, and this is why it very obviously did
it's
not
kind
work.
It's kind of one of the things that's amazing about whatever it is that'll be unearthed in this 10-minute video is it's not just it changed the fate of the sport and obviously Miami sports over the next 15 years, but the fact that now we can see the video, Stugatz, that would make us better understand. It's not going to be a complete version of, wait a minute, LeBron to New York was the biggest slam dunk ever. How
yes.
could he have
he
not just...
He was wearing a Yankees
no,
hat.
How I mean, could
yes.
he have... like that LeBron to... How do they botch LeBron to New York? The Knicks were on the doorstep of everyone saw... Yeah, the most obvious thing is do what the Knicks are doing now, which is, oh, look, we've got the agent crews running our shows here. The Knicks management team, Stugatz, is basically just what LeBron's management team is now, running Clutch.
And Leon Rose, the president of the Knicks, and the Knicks, of course, are really good now, right? Two seed, all of that. The guy who's running the team, Leon Rose, was in the room for this. He was LeBron's agent. He got to see this. And so it's almost like he got a reverse blueprint for what not to do. And the question for the strategy here was initially, and you're, and Stugatz, you're totally right. LeBron wore a Yankee cap to a Cleveland Indians, New York Yankees playoff series.
Teased us.
He was wearing, he was more than teasing.
It was the surest thing. It was the most obvious thing. And we were wondering, how do they botch this? And what you're telling us is you've got 10 minutes of them botching it.
What I'm telling you is that go to this video, and I will further spoil it because there's even a worse face than what I'm going to mention. But the first face you see, because I can't help myself, after the Sopranos secret ending reveal is Donald Trump. So just know that it gets worse from there. It gets worse from, hey, guy you would feud with famously over racial issues in America, famous black LeBron James athlete, iconic figure. That guy is the first face that you meet coming out of that in the darkness of a pitch room. And it is bad.
Pablo, since you've seen the entire video, how long into the video do you think LeBron told himself, I'm not coming here?
If I would like all of us actually, Stu, to answer that question for ourselves. I don't want to lead the witness.
Okay.
But I'm actually fascinated because we held a focus group in the episode with Jason Concepcion and Worldwide Wob Rob Perez because I wanted to simulate, okay, here are guys who are not like anti-Knicks by nature. They want the best for this team.
Right.
And when you watch this, pretend, this is, it's a great way of framing this too. Pretend you're LeBron. You're a famous guy with access to everything.
Right.
And by the way, here's another funny bit about what we just played for you, just that little bit, right? They play Jay-Z public service announcement, that song, as like the outro into what becomes like a segue into this procession of what I call like the, basically James Dolan's recruiting hostesses, almost like college football style. You meet everybody in order. They're trying to convince LeBron to come to New York. The song that they play, Jay-Z, that's the guy who quite literally, it's absurd it happened this way. Jay-Z was pulling out of the parking lot because he was selling LeBron on the Nets as the Knicks were coming in. So immediately you're like, okay, I don't think the Knicks necessarily anticipated this correctly because they're selling him on the guy who just pitched him come to Brooklyn.
All right.
And that's first. 1 minute. That's the first minute of this.
I will send people over there. Pablo Torre finds out. He says he is hustling for those artifacts. It's very, very long weeks unearthing, trying to unearth. Everyone's at this trough trying to grab the interesting stuff. And he found a bit of a treasure here that will.
This is a great one.
Well, it's a treasure for a number of reasons, especially as the Knicks head into the playoffs now with like real loud hope for the first time in a quarter century. But. Before we go any further, where would you like to go? Because there's no more time, so you have to pick one of these three topics. You've got the WNBA, you've got the playoffs starting, you got the draft, the playoffs, the NBA playoffs starting, and you've got a United States president facing felony charges, first time ever in a criminal court that's ever happened. Take your shot. What do you want?
Weirdly, I think the episode today we've just been discussing actually hits on the last part. The president thing. So I'm gonna punt on that for the purposes of this.
Yes.
And just marvel. Truly, it like when you say WNBA, the first thing you think of is, wow, that ratings monster. Like, we have not seen this, Dad. Like, I had Morgan Murphy on my show on Friday to talk about what it's like actually when you've been rooting and watching and consuming and trying to evangelize people on your favorite sport. She's the biggest women's basketball fan I know in my life. And she's been trying to convince people for 20 years, this is worth it, and it's finally happening. And there's comedy, right? And not merely you being proven right, but also the dynamic of what happens when everybody starts, like, gentrifying the thing you love. And so I was a bit of this with Lucy in Iowa, but the way it's happening at scale here with Caitlin Clark and women's basketball is funny because you have to handle this unprecedented problem. A deeply unpopular thing seemingly overnight is now popular. And now you are both vindicated and infuriated that everybody has takes delivered with the confidence of people who've been there for as long as you have. And that is both a sign that you've made it and is also your personal hell. Like a genie cursed you with a wish that they granted, but the footnote of, and by the way, now Stephen A is going to have takes about Caitlin Clark that are going to make you infuriated. Like, it's an amazing thing we've just never seen before in American sports.
I can't believe the Sparks took Cameron Brink. That is not the player you take at number two. They need offense. They took defense. They went offense. You got to go offense there. You have to go with Cardoso from South Carolina.
Exactly.
I mean, what are they thinking?
Could not be more wrong.